You are listening to a message from the Oasis Network for Churches. We hope that you enjoy the message of the finished work of Jesus Christ.
You know, I've been thinking about, you know, some of these concepts, even in Chrissy and I's own life, that, you know, we've been really focusing on this for some time, but I think even, you know, this past year have really started, you know, kind of dreaming about this more. We've started going on seeing more open houses of houses, you know, and, you know, houses that are way outside of our price range that we have no intention of buying that day. Because we want to expand our thinking. We want to expand our vision of how we see things. And you go, well, why do you need a big house? It's not just about the big house. It's about seeing yourself differently. It's about seeing yourself differently. I had somebody, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to be transparent with you here for a second. Imagine that happening from a pastor on the stage, right? I had somebody give me a gift about a week ago that was something that I had wanted for a long time. And it was, and I'm not going to, I won't have to get, the specifics of it doesn't matter, but I got a really, really nice pair of shoes. Okay. Now I'm not wearing them today. But I got a, and these are not that these are not nice shoes. These are Jungle Rose, Jordan Richardson, who comes to church here at times. This is his brand. So he gave these to me as a gift as well. So apparently people like to give me shoes. But I was given this really, really nice pair of shoes. Now, in my mind, these are the type of shoes that people get when they make it. Okay? It's the type of shoes that people get when they make it. Now, even as Ephraim was sharing, you know, I was thinking about this, and I've had them for a week. Do you know how many times I've worn them? Zero. Zero. Why? I think part of me is afraid because this is my only pair. And it's taken me this long to get them. And I'm afraid if I wear them, then how they look now is not how they will look after. And so, I mean, it's been a little rainy this week, and I'm like, I can't wear these today. They're too nice. They're too nice. Now, there is value in taking care of the things that we have. There's value in taking care of the things that we have. But there is a fine line between taking the care of the things that we have and basically living in a state of lack, thinking that the physical possessions that we have, first of all, is the only one we're ever going to get. Who's to say I won't have another pair next week that I might even be able to buy on my own? But we have a mindset of now that I have this, and I mean, I imagine I could go quite some time without ever wearing these shoes. Why? Because there's areas of my heart belief that I still don't see myself as living in that world, as that being a common thing for me. Do you know, I mean, do you remember the first time you got a cell phone? And I mean, the way that you treated it, the way that you thought about it, it was like, I mean, I can communicate with the heavens from my pocket, you know? And now we're like, hey, here's my phone. You know, we're tossing it, screens are breaking. I mean, they're more than ever, but we treat them as a common thing. Why? Well, if this one breaks, I'll just go get another one. And you know, we have people, when you have them for a while, it starts to change how you view it. Now, I'm not talking about taking things for granted. I'm talking about living in a place to where you see what it is that you possess as something that is a state of being that will not leave you. Okay? And so the shoes that I mentioned that I got as a gift, there's areas in my heart where I still don't know if that is a state of being where I see myself always being. So they're still in the box and I've never worn them. Because I sit there and go, that's my only pair. Now let me take this into the spiritual for you. The promises of God in your life Are you treating them as if they are a one-time thing? Or are you treating them as if they are something that you can wake up and put on every single day? You know what the Lord ministered to me this week about these shoes? I was just going, man, Lord, this is awesome. And I mean, truly, I think it is such a blessing. I'm thankful for the gift that these shoes are, okay? But they're shoes. And as, you know, stylish and hip and, you know, statusy that the shoes feel, the Lord spoke to me. He says, your feet have been fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace for a lot longer than you've had these shoes. And I think that some of us are afraid to get that readiness dirty. We're afraid to get it out there. We're afraid to use it. We keep it on. Man, my feet are fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace right here in this box on my spiritual shelf. And someday I'm going to have a special occasion when I get to share the gospel with somebody. But until then, I'm going to keep these shoes in a box right here on the shelf because I don't want to get them dirty. I don't know how many times I'm going to get to wear shoes like this. And I want to let you know that the gifts of the Spirit, the promises of God, the blessings of God, they are for everyday use. Everyday use. They should be, now don't go into calling me a heretic for this, but ready? They should be common. Common. I don't mean we take them for granted. I don't mean that we disregard them, but I mean there is an unlimited supply. An unlimited supply because he is our source. He is our source. You know, the things that sometimes we take for, I mean, think about the things that you would give away. And I apparently had a little bit more of I never shop, but I went shopping this week. And I bought a jacket. And I got a jacket, and I actually was going to get it. And I mean, I'm a really slow shopper. Like, I mean, and, you know, people take for cars or something a while and shop, or houses. Like, I need that long for like a shirt. I'm just like, I don't know. Do I want to spend this much money? And I'll like come back three times to the store before I actually buy it. So I almost got this jacket. I was so close. And like the store was closing in like 11 minutes. Chrissy's like, are you going to get it? Are you going to get it? And I'm like, no, not going to get it. So I put it back on the shelf and we leave. And I come back the next day. And I go, I think I'm going to get the jacket. It was 60% off the next day. 60% off. And I thought, man, thank God for discernment. And so I got the jacket. Now, the when I bought that jacket, do you know what I did? I put the jacket on, and then literally, I mean, I wasn't even consciously thinking this. I wasn't thinking like, oh, this is going to be a good teaching moment for the church. But I didn't even remember doing this until Ephraim shared these things. So I put this jacket on, and I saw myself giving the jacket away from the moment I bought it. And I thought, you know what? The only way I'm going to get this is if I can also see it being a blessing to somebody else down the road. Now, I'm going to wear it a couple times first. Maybe a year or two. I don't know. It's a nice jacket. But I saw myself blessing somebody with this jacket because I believe that in order to really, you know, otherwise we're just becoming self-serving. We're just becoming self-serving. And I know in my life, when I was at a place to where I couldn't go shop for a jacket, which was not that long ago, that I know what things have meant to me when somebody's blessed me in my life. And, you know, you go, well, it's used. Yeah, for me, somebody else's used was my new. Okay? And there's still a lot of things I would take used. Because their used is nicer than my new. And we have to see ourselves and the things in which we are utilizing our resources for, see how you can make it a blessing from the beginning of the purchase and have that in mind. So that way when God asks you, because there's going to come a day where I'm walking down the street with my jacket on and to take it off, I'm going to be cold. and God's going to say, this is the guy. And that jacket is going to go to that person. If I've not already prepared my heart for that, then I won't be able to do it. I'll walk by and go, man, I really felt like I was supposed to give that guy my jacket. And we've all had thoughts like that, and we didn't act on them. Why? Because we had not yet created an environment in our heart to be able to follow God. You know, we're talking about in the series, Trust and Obey. See, as long as I think that those are my only pair of shoes like that I'm ever going to get, I'm never going to be able to give them to somebody. Never going to be able to give them to somebody. Why? Well, I mean, I'm going to hold on to them like, my precious. See, but if I see him as my precious and all the promises that he has for me, then it's much easier to expand my heart to not hold on to things so tightly because I know where my source comes from. And we have gotten in such a state of lack that the thought of blessing somebody else, well, I can't give that away. We only have one of them. That's the problem, is you think you only have one of them. God wants to enlarge your thinking. He wants to expand the capacity of your ability to be able to receive what he has to offer you. And it has to start with greeting the promises from afar. Amen? So that's one type of currency. And I want to talk about another today. And I'm going to pray for us here, and we'll get into this officially. Father, I just thank you so much for revelation. And Lord, specifically that you are the revealer and that you are the one who just leads and guides every single thought and conception that we have. And Lord, we know that your intention is for us to be able to see the world and to see you and to see ourselves as you see the world and you see us and you see you. Because that is where truth lies. And Lord, we know that that's not arrogance that you hold, Lord, but it's simply that that is what truth is. And so, Lord, we just bless you today. And we thank you, Lord. We pour out thanksgiving and gratitude to you for all you have done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, in this world today, it's almost offensive to be right. Okay? It's almost offensive to be right. If you talk to somebody and you know, I love movies, okay? And so somebody will say something about a movie and they'll say, oh yeah, so-and-so was in this movie. And I'll go, actually, no, that wasn't them. It was this person, okay? And no, I'm pretty sure. Now, not to say I've never been wrong about that game, but it's almost like to tell somebody the truth is it's such a violation of our ego today that we can't handle it. Now, the fact of the matter is God is telling us the truth about every single capacity and facet of our life every single second of the day. Not in a know-it-all way and not in a trying to rub it in sort of way, but in a way of he's trying to gently lead us towards what is real. But we have such a false reality that we live in that we can't receive it, because to receive his truth is to violate our egos of everything else that we've ever held to be true. And so how can I accept what he's telling me is true when all my life I've stood on this? I've seen people that their whole agenda in their life is a certain belief system. And they've been teaching it for years. They have books published about the subject. I've seen guys that have gotten a revelation of things that they have books about that won't publicly come out and disagree with their material, even though they don't believe it any longer, because that's what's gotten them famous. That's what's gotten them the speaking gigs. That's what's gotten them all the opportunities. And they can't change now because it's been 20, 30 years. There's a thing called humility. Humility. And humility is essentially recognizing that I by myself am not the source of truth. That there is a source greater than me. I want to talk to you today and continue this teaching on dealing with the issues of offense, okay? Trust and obey. And I really believe that, and I talked about this currency idea. See, there's a physical currency. Now we have digital currency, okay? That's a whole nother can of worms. But we also have this thing that I call relational currency or relational equity. And relationship is really the currency that drives all other currencies. The transactional component to relationship is what will determine where all other currencies go to. You ever liked a product but didn't like the sales guy, so you went next door? See, it was the currency of relationship, of rapport, of connectivity that drove the transaction of financial exchange. Okay? That happens to me all the time. All the time. In fact, I will prep salespeople for this. I will tell them on bigger purchases, if we're looking at a car or something, I'll tell them, like, guys, I want to let you know, I don't need to be sold. I'm going to buy what is going to work for me. If I have questions, I'll let you know. I promise you, if you follow me around this place and use all the pressure tactics, I will walk out the door. Okay? I'm just going to let you know that because I would love to buy this here, but you have the ability to decide whether or not that's going to happen if this is a product that I like. I mean, I've literally had these conversations with salespeople that go over about as well as you think. And then they do their thing because that's the only act that they know because they don't know how to have a real relationship with a customer. And guess what? I go next door and find it. Because relationship drives the financial exchange. Now, we have relationship with each other that interaction that I just described. But we also have a greater relationship, and that is our relationship with God that drives all other currencies in our life. You know, I just read this verse this week. It says, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. And the words there in the original language is essentially like a super highway. It's a clear, clear path. Okay? And you know, you've probably had those thoughts before. When you see other people prosper, I know that none of us ever really get mad about other people prospering, you know, but because we're all just think so righteously. But you see somebody else prosper, and you start creating the reasons why they've prospered. Well, they only did that because they know so-and-so. They only did that because they went to Notre Dame. They only were able to do that because, you know, their dad's a doctor. Or they were only able to do that because, you know, and we just fill in the blank. All right? Now, what the reality is it says that the path of the upright is a highway. Instead of praising somebody for finding a clear path in life through legitimate, not only hard work, but also the blessing of doing things right, we try to pull them down back into the pit of despair that we live in so that they can be just as miserable as we are. And I wish it wasn't the case, but as I grow more and more, one of the things I keep challenging myself with is, am I okay if other people prosper? Am I okay if other people prosper? And am I okay if they prosper faster and greater than I do? And I would love to say that the answer in my heart is always yes. But I still find that there's times that's challenging for me. Even though I teach this and believe this and push this, there's still times where I go, I wish I was doing that. I wish somebody would have invited me. I wish I would have had that opportunity. See what? See, the reality is, I'm seeing, it's like there's only three tickets to success, and two of them are accounted for, and I just watched the third one get handed out to somebody else, and there I am, and there's none left for me. See, that is called lack. It's lack thinking. The reality is there is unlimited number. There's no end to the amount of success and opportunity that exists in the kingdom of God. In fact, so much so, the Bible says that the whole world waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Do you know this world knows what you look like? We just don't. Have you ever thought about this shell that you're in is not you. It's not you. When I was a kid, I was allergic to everything. And so I wanted a pet. And so I got a hermit crab. And I liked it because, as far as I can tell, I've never seen a hermit crab go to the bathroom. And I think they just do it in their shell and carry it around with them, which is a metaphor in and of itself. But, you know, like, you look at that, and it's so tempting to think that the shell is the crab. But it's just an inanimate object that it's dragging around with them throughout their life until it grows and it gets a new shell and it finds something else to make its home. See, you have this shell of a person that you're dragging around called your physical body. And we should take care of it. We should you know, treat it right. We should dress it up. We should do all the things that we do here as people. But we should not think for one second that this body is us. It's a shell. That's not excuse to just let yourself go and, well, it's not even really me, so I'm, you know, past the donuts, okay? But it is reason to recognize that my worth and my value, I don't know what that voice was, but it just came out. It's not a reason to ignore the fact that that I have a true identity, a heavenly dwelling that is actually the real me. And I am waiting for the unification of that. And all the feelings of insignificance that I've ever dealt with will be completely gone at that moment when I realize my value and my identity through him rather than all the other places I've been trying to get it on my own. And if we can get to that place, then something amazing will happen. I've not even started my message yet, so we'll see how far we get on this. Let's take a look here at Luke 17, 1 through 5. It says, then he said to his disciples, it's talking about Jesus, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Just want you to go there for a second. It's impossible that no offenses should come. What that means is if you think your life is going to be nothing but roses, wake up. If you live long enough, you're going to have pain and a lot of it. You're going to have hurt. You're going to have disappointment. You're going to have betrayal. You're going to have insults. You're going to have all these different things if you live long enough. Pain is actually a sign of blessing. Now, don't think I just tossed out everything I wrote about good God. Not because it comes from God, but it actually shows that we've been alive long enough to go through things. Okay? So I can rejoice and go, Lord, thank you that I've been alive long enough. There's a lot of people that never got to experience some of these things that I've gotten to experience in life. And I thank you that this is not from you and that you love me enough to overcome this. But, you know, it's all perspective. It's all perspective. Jesus said it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through who they do come. Now, there's two things that happen when an offense is here. And now, this word offense in the original language is scandalon. Okay? It's where we get our word for scandalous, scandal, etc. And it literally means the bait of the trap. The bait of the trap. So if you had a mouse trap up here on the stage, you would think that the trap itself is the offense. But the offense is actually the piece of cheese that you put on the end of it to attract the critter to come into the trap. Okay? So the trap is unforgiveness, jealousy, hatred, you know, pain, all judgment, all of these sort of things. That's actually the trap. But the bait of the trap is offense. You know, when somebody says something to you on social media and you feel the temptation to go back in, why? Because you've been presented with bait to go back into the trap. And, you know, I people go, why don't you comment much on my post when I you know, write you a question or something like that? Because I've learned that posting more than once on social media is a trap. It's very rare that I do. I actually did this morning, and I'm already thinking I might have made a mistake by doing so. But you make a comment, and then I just walk away. Why? Because I'm not interested in the aftermath of everything else and all the, but blah, 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 you know. If you have a message you want to share, great, but there's no need to keep walking back into the trap and ruining relationship. If somebody doesn't like what I believe and they don't like me because of that, that's fine. But I don't, it's not my job to try to convince them, okay? So it says, woe to him who through they come. So there's both the offense that I experience when I walk into the trap, and also the side of the offense, which is the person who lays the trap. Okay? We experience both of those things. So it keeps going here. It says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. So Jesus is talking here, first of all, to the person who lays the offense. And it's saying, don't be somebody who lays offense. This is why we try to live in such a way that nobody has any reason to cast, you know, judgment or accusations against us. And I would say most of us live in such a way that we want to utilize our freedoms to the free extent of that we can. The reality is you're free in Christ. But if your freedoms are giving people a reason to be constantly offended with you, then there's issue with how we're utilizing our freedoms that we have. I'm the freest person on the planet. And I mean that in every sense of the word. But why would I utilize freedoms if it's gonna cause somebody else harm in their life? Goes on here. Take heed to yourself. And I'm going to finish after this. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive. He says here in this that it's impossible for offenses to come, for offenses not to come. When they do come, woe to the one who lays the offense. But then it also says this: take heed to yourself. See, you would expect it to just say, you know, because you would think if I'm going around and offending people, how do we typically see that? The one who is offending is the one who is wrong, and the one who is receiving the offense to them is a victim. Jesus adjusts that a little bit. And he says, hey, the person who's causing offenses, woe to you. Be better if you had a big, you know, bulldozer tied around your neck and you were thrown in the ocean. But hey, you who are getting offended all the time, take heed. Take heed. Recognize that you have the power in your own heart to not grab the cheese. Somebody else's opinion doesn't have to define you. And most of the issues of trust that we have come back to the fact that we have let other people define us. We've had expectations on other people that we've never communicated to them clearly. We've had needs for significance from everybody else around us except for from hearing it from the one who can actually give it to us. How many times does it take us to hear some of these things before we believe them? The fact of the matter is, if you're hearing it from the wrong place, you can hear it a million different times and still not believe it. But when you hear it from the right source, it only takes one time. Because you know he who speaks is true. And so I want to encourage you here today. We're going to keep going in this series more throughout the month. But I want to encourage you here today. And I want to assume that, you know, most of us aren't out there purposely throwing offenses at people. But we all need to recognize that we do offend people sometimes without even knowing it. Sometimes in ways that honestly, in many ways, are beyond our control. You know, I had somebody get mad at me yesterday for texting me on my birthday and I didn't text him back. My phone was off. I was celebrating my birthday. And I can't be responsible for every single view that somebody else has or judgment that somebody else has. I have to be aware of how I can help that process and the contribution I do make to it. But today I want to encourage you from the other side of this to strive to be a person who is unoffendable. The bait is going to be presented to you, and yes, you have opportunity to take the cheese. But challenge yourself when those things come and ask yourselves questions. Why am I upset by this? Why am I hurt by this person's opinion of me? Why am I offended by seeing this other person succeed when I'm not? What does that say about what I believe about myself? And what do I believe about the promises of God towards me that's speaking something to me about my heart in a way in which I can take heed? Amen? A lot more to say on the subject, but I'm going to leave you there. I'm going to pray for us here this morning. And I think we have some announcements and things here left. But I'm going to pray for us. And I just want to encourage you that act on this as soon as you are inspired. Act on this as soon as you are inspired. Maybe that means you need to go repent to somebody. Maybe that means you need to go ask for forgiveness to somebody. Maybe that means you need to go let somebody else that, look, I've been offended towards you because of this. And I've made a judgment about you because I don't really know how you think or feel. And I just assume something here and it's caused damage between us for a long time. And you might be amazed at what the relational currency with him and with others actually produces in your life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. And I pray for a supernatural awareness of the condition of our heart. Both halves of our heart. The half of our heart that is our mind, our will, and our emotions. That is made up of our programming and thoughts and judgments and things that we have, that we could see those things clearly and that truth would shine light there. And also the half of our heart, which is our spirit man, who has been perfected forever. He's been made holy and righteous. He has significance. He has a calling. And Lord, that we would see those things clearly and that your word would help us to be able to divide between the two. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness. We bless you today, Lord. Amen.
For more information about the Oasis Network for Churches or the Message of Grace, please visit our website, www.oasenet.org. Thanks for listening.